but we won't. You know? I'm saying we could, but so it's. I mean, it's typically this. We consider this Palm Sunday, and but I just titled today's message "Just a Donkey Ride Across the Valley," and part of it is just because we're so familiar with the story, we don't pay attention to details anymore. And so we could easily, I think the world would probably look at the events of today as just a donkey ride across a valley. And so just in my introductory thing here to go with what we've been talking about, it's breaking news, it's highest drama, it's earth-shaking, it's also a full-on adventure in missing the point. Its impact is completely miscalculated, its timing is impeccably ignored, its prophetic implications are totally filtered out. Its fans are screaming for a touchdown at a golf tournament. Its most avid promoters seem to be resolutely invulnerable to insight. And so when I think of that, how misunderstood, miscalculated, just totally twisted out of proportion this event was, it's really no wonder that one of the authors of the Gospels has said... one of them mentioned that as Jesus came to the crest of the hill from the Kidron Valley, that he had to go down the valley and up into Jerusalem. As he looked over the valley at Jerusalem, what was Jesus' response that morning? He wept. Mm-hmm. He wept over the city. So here's all this big uproar and preparation getting ready to happen for him, supposedly for him. And Jesus' reaction, because he really knows what's going on, Jesus is weeping because nobody's paid attention to what the prophet said, and even says in there, you know, if you had known, if you paid attention to what the prophets had said, you would have known what this day was. But because you've ignored it, now it's too late. And so everything is set in motion, the train has left the station, and soon there won't be one stone left on top of another in this whole city. They will destroy everything and the people living in the city of Jerusalem. And so we look at today as a day of high celebration as the crowds gathered. And but yet I see such a different story going on in Jesus' heart. And so that's why I want us all to have the palm fronds with us as we go through this message this morning. Because the palms obviously were a symbol of the celebration. That people would wave them like people would wave flags at a parade, or we might even have now, you know, because we've gotten far beyond that, we even would go to like fireworks or something to be in a celebrative mood. But so the crowd is gathering to welcome Jesus. And so what I want us to look at this morning is this story. But and does anyone remember back in high school, at least for me it was high school, the first time you had an open book exam? And you remember how exciting it was, that open book? Holy cow, we get to have our book open? I mean, it's like the, you know, it's like question one. Here's going to be the question. And it's right with the question. It's an open book and it's like, the answer is found on page 78, paragraph 2. Does anyone remember an open book test? Mm-hmm. Did you ever see the answer written in your textbook anywhere? No. Because what they're looking for is you have to answer the question with an understanding that you've gleaned from studying the chapter. And if you've not studied the chapter and paid attention in class, etc., or read the professor's notes or whatever is happening there, or your own, if you could read them, you know, it's too late. I mean, you can have a textbook open in front of you, but the answer is not found by reading it at that point. It'll take you forever. And so this morning, I want us to do kind of an open book message, not specifically searching different verses of Scripture, because we know these passages. And our problem is we know them so well that we miss the point. We can read over it, and it's like, yeah, I know that story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but Scripture, and just last week in Kinship, you know, we're talking about that. We're just reminding ourselves again that Scripture is the living Word. So every time you read it, it's got life to it, and it can open up new things to you. And so rather than just always be referring back to Scripture that we already know this morning, I want us to go through this in a sense of what do we see from this passage, what this story, this event, this happening, which was so big and yet so misunderstood, and how does it apply to us? You know, we celebrate Palm Sunday, and we at the beginning of Holy Week, as we come toward the crucifixion and the resurrection. But what does that mean for us? And so, I'm saying here, concerning the divine conspiracy, as Dallas Willard calls it, or the open secret, it's right there in front of us. If we just have eyes to see what God has been communicating to us, I see a need emerging. So that's like, I see a need emerging for us in the 21st century. Here we are, 21 centuries after this event, and we still have a hard time. And the thing that we can easily, Sue was mentioning, we get distracted. And our society today, you know, Rabbi Edwin Friedman, in his book, A Failure of Nerve, Leadership in the Age of the Quick Fix, he says that American society is chronically anxious. And so it causes us to have this regressive mindset where all we focus on are the symptoms. And we never really talk about the cause. So the quick fix, as Keith mentioned, is, you know, our quick fix today is let's throw a new legislation at a problem, at a symptom, and let's see if that works. But, you know, we've thrown so much legislation at so many different issues that haven't gone away, you know? And as it was pointed out this morning in the intellectual reading in the newspaper, you know, prohibition really took care of the alcohol problem in our country.
Sure did.
Right? You know, just really did a good job. And, you know, and our war on drugs has really just made them disappear, you know? So, you know, it's really effective. So we're looking at doing another one, and that's my political rant for this morning. But just to confirm, Dr. Friedman, Rabbi Friedman, died in 1996 when he wrote this, that we are a chronically anxious society where we have lost our sense of adventure and ability to be forward-thinking. And so all we're doing is trying to patch the problem, and we're not really going to the issue. And so Keith mentioned it, and I think that's what our issue really is. It's a heart issue that we're dealing with. We have heart disease in this country, and we're not addressing the heart because we've removed God from the equation. So the solution has been removed. And so now we're in a situation where all we're trying to do is we keep putting Band-Aids. And so as we look at our situation today, as we hold these palm fronds, these symbols of celebration and joy and happiness, I see a need emerging for us as 21st century believers in Jesus, those who call in the name of Jesus, to do certain things. So the first thing I see us needing is we need to be impacted by the ride, by this donkey ride into Jerusalem. We need to be impacted on a daily basis. What does Jesus' entry in Jerusalem have to do with us today? Does it have anything to do with us? Do we relate to what Jesus did as he went into Jerusalem? And do we think about what Jesus did and accomplished in this ride on the donkey into Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week? Does it have an impact on our lives, like on Monday morning? Are we aware of what Jesus did? And are we in a celebrative mood because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came riding on a donkey, humble and exalted, because it was a fulfillment of prophecy? Are we, you know, do we allow ourselves, and this is why I love what Horace shared, you know, does Scripture, these things, do they move us to tears, to an emotion that really shakes us when we read Scripture? Or have we read it so many times, it's like, oh yeah, well, yeah, it's Palm Sunday, we know the story. You know, and maybe we're not quite that crass with it, but I think we read these things so often that it doesn't shake us again, that our Lord, our Savior, our coming King, is in the process of fulfilling prophecy. And, you know, I almost wrote a story because my imagination never shuts up. But, you know, I could just picture Jesus has been staying in Bethany at the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And so the night before, they had dinner together. They hung out. They just had a really nice evening. But once everybody was settled down for the night, everything was quiet, I can just picture Jesus getting up, knowing what's ahead of him, going out into the garden behind the house and just finding a quiet spot just to be by himself, to commune with the Father and say, "Lord, Father, I know this week is going to be really heavy." And just having the Father love on him and remind him that you are fulfilling your purpose. This is your mission. This is what you're going for. This is what I've called you to do. And so, you know, as Jesus makes the decision, yes, I am going to do this. I am going to Jerusalem, even though I know what's waiting for me. I'm going to go. I'm going to do this. And as he goes to sleep for the night, there's a message that is sent to the center of the earth, and the beginning of an earthquake starts. And the next morning, as Jesus is getting ready, I could just picture the world just starting to tremble just a little bit because there's a coming earthquake. And, you know, they always start really down deep inside the earth, and then they tremble up and they tremble up. And we looked at a couple of months ago looking at the big earthquake up in the Pacific Northwest and with Mount St. Helens, and how many signs and tremors there were, and the bulge on the side of the mountain before it actually happened, and there were plenty of signs. And so I think there was a sign already that people were really sensitive. I can just picture Mary the next morning looking and wondering, something's different, but what is it? You know, just being sensitive enough to capture, there's something feels different. And so we need to be impacted this morning afresh, I think, by this, not just a donkey ride, obviously, not just a donkey ride, so much more than that. Not just a celebration, not just another group of people coming into Jerusalem, especially at that time of year, so many people were coming in because of the festival. But we need to be impacted by it and aware daily that, wow, this makes a difference for me. The second thing that I'm just looking at here is to watch for and honor exquisite timing. You know, I'm often embarrassed as I think back on things, how little I paid attention to God's obvious intervention for me. And just, it's after the fact I realize, the only reason that happened is because God did this, you know? I mean, on a smaller scale, you know, because of Teresa's prayers, David and Leanne got this steal of a bargain. But on a much larger scale, God is doing this all the time for us.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, we have a friend, Pierre, in France, and maybe I've told you the story before, but he was really depressed, really going through a really tough time. And he decided he was going to end it all. And so he went out at night on his motorcycle, turned off the lights, and he just drove as fast as he could through the countryside, just with no lights on, and just at top speed, just roaring down. And he was coming to an intersection, and there was a car coming. And he almost thought, you know what, I better stop. And he goes, nope, I don't care. So he just kept on going, and he was on a collision course with this car. You know, you just picture it where it was happening, and he just closed his eyes and roared through the intersection, and he made it through the intersection. And he said he just got chills because the car was nowhere to be seen. I mean, it had already passed through. He had not hit that, and he said it was impossible physically that we did not crash because we were on collision course. And he said, I had my eyes closed. I just went through. I didn't care. I was just ready to end it. And the Lord said, I'm not ready to end it with you. You know, so those are dramatic moments. But I just think we need to be watching and looking at what is God doing for us on a regular basis. How did certain things happen? How do things just seem to work out? How do, you know, we clock it to coincidence or something. But so often I think God is really on our side, making things work and causing people to give answers and that we don't even have to work up to get to. They just happen. And so I think recognizing that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is on our side actively, they sent the Holy Spirit to be that intercessor, to help us understand what God is doing and teach us and to remind us. So watching for it, there's exquisite timing happening all the time. And we miss it because we can miss it easily because of this chronically anxious society which infects us. It is so easy to get caught up in the stuff that the world gets caught up in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and you talk, I almost laughed this morning when the Lord brought this to mind. Remember when Jesus was accusing the religious rulers of straining at gnats and swallowing camels? I'm thinking, on the airwaves today, there is a tremendous amount of straining at gnats, while at the same time, we swallow camels. And so I'm thinking, boy, that was a pretty sarcastic thing for Jesus to say. But he got the message across, hopefully. But here we are 21 centuries later. Hopefully we get it too, that we're not going to get caught up in straining at gnats, even though there's a lot of gnat straining happening all around us. And it's hard, as Keith said, let's stay focused. What's really true for us is what is the national debate and dialogue or monologue or tirade or whatever the word is that really true? And so we just need to be able to focus back, and as we're impacted by the ride, we're watching for exquisite timing. The third thing, which is so not American and not Western, but let's live wholeheartedly both celebration and suffering. We talked about this last week. Suffering is part of life as well. And Scripture, Jesus certainly told his disciples, in this world, it's going to be a walk in the park, right? No, he said, in this world, you'll have trouble. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, as you follow me after I leave, they will put you out of the synagogues and they'll think they're doing God a favor by putting you to death. But he said, just when they do that, remember, they hated me first. So I think what we need to be able to do as we celebrate this life that God gives us, that we need to live wholeheartedly both sides, the celebration, the amazing stuff that God does that just causes us to be in awe, but also to celebrate as we go through these times of suffering. As Paul said, I want to know you perfectly. I want to know you also in your suffering, because that was a huge part of Jesus' life. The suffering, and certainly this week that we're coming into as we look at Holy Week, Jesus certainly was that. So that we be every bit as wholehearted about our celebration as we are about the part where we are in suffering and where we experience loss and we experience heartache and disease and all those things, that we'd recognize the palm branch we have in our hand, the symbol of our celebration, is no less powerful, no less true when life is tough and when things are going against us, supposedly. And then, let's make it even worse. The fourth thing, I see a need emerging to hone in on the call to downward uprising, to be downwardly mobile, to give away in order to receive. That's what Jesus said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So in the kingdom, everything is upside down. It doesn't work the way we're trained. It doesn't work according to our old nature. Jesus was pretty clear about that. And, and he was really upset with James and John when they tried to figure out who was going to be having the right to sit on his left and his right in the kingdom. And he said, it's not for you guys to do that. And it's not for me to give that to you. So to recognize this downward uprising, to give away, to be less in order for God to raise us up and to give us more, is something that, Jesus gave his life away as a total example for us. So everything in this week we're coming into is an example for us, that here's what Jesus did, here's what he gave away, so that we could have. And then last thing, that we would also, I think we have a need to once again lean in to the Holy Spirit in childlike dependence. We're so grown up, we're so sophisticated, we're so together, we try to be so tough, as we sang this morning. And, you know, I don't think Jesus laughs at us, but I think he probably smiles like the indulgent parent when he sees us getting so uptight and upset and worried about stuff. You know, and, you know, it's truly a very small thing, but it really gets us upset. And, you know, especially when he sees us straining at gnats, you know, it's just like, really? Is it really that important to you? And, you know, and we really get caught up in things, and news reports and Facebook stuff can really just wrap us around and around and around tightly. And, you know, and we really have a hard time extricating ourselves from it. But if you could lean in to the Holy Spirit in childlike dependence, as Jesus said, become like little children or you won't know the kingdom. You know, you can't come as adults. You can't get there as adults. You've got to come like children who believe. It's their faith that brings them there. And just lean in again and find that provision of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. Remember we looked last week, Jesus' statement was, it's good for you that I go away. And remember their response was, what? How could it be good for us that you go away? He said, well, if I go away, then I'll send the Spirit who can actually live in you and be with you 24/7 and can teach you and remind you and instruct you and encourage you and pick you back up again and be that constant presence for each of you. So on this Palm Sunday, as we look at these palm branches, and I know Sue's been working at making them into crosses. That's too complicated for me. It's beyond my pay grade. But she's made some, I think, for the kids this morning. So it's so much more for us today than just a donkey ride across a valley. This is the King of Kings who's come for us. And he's about to do for us, provide an example for us to lead us through not just Holy Week and to Pentecost, but beyond. And so I really want us to be able to learn to do this leaning in. And so I did mess up this morning, but that's no surprise. We're going to start next Sunday. We're going to continue on with this on a series on the Holy Spirit and that the Vineyards come up with called The Road to Pentecost. And so for the next 8 weeks, we'll look at the whole different aspects of the Holy Spirit leading to Pentecost. And I meant to bring these books, pieces we'll look at next week. So if you're in Kinship last week, or if you get to Kinship this week, you can get a book. I just forgot to bring them. I had the wrong books in my trunk this morning. I didn't have time to go back and get them. So what I'd like us to do is we go to communion this morning. I'd like us to take our palm branch with us to the table to make it awkward, but at least we got something else in our hand. Because I want us to look at this thing at the bottom of the page I've given you. Palm branch Christians, it's not trying to get a new sect going or anything. But just as we think about the palm branch, a symbol of celebration, asking ourselves these questions as we do communion this morning. Am I celebrating? And what am I celebrating? Who am I celebrating? How am I celebrating? When am I celebrating? And where am I celebrating? You know, when Paul talks about later in Romans about, you know, the whole world is groaning for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, to see lives that are transformed so that, as Keith mentioned and as Horace was mentioning earlier, our transformed lives, as we live out this daily celebration of, you know, being impacted by the ride and watching for exquisite timing and celebrating both celebration and suffering, honing in on our downward uprising and leaning into the Holy Spirit. As our society just sees us doing that, it makes an impact. But if we join in, if we just get sucked into the national diatribe, we're not making a difference. And so I think we have an opportunity to make a difference in the 21st century as we look at, here's the celebration, here's the one I celebrate, here's how I celebrate. Because I don't know about you, but I can go through a whole week and all I do is gripe and moan and complain and find fault and commiserate over what isn't and what wasn't and what probably never will be, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we're called to celebrate. And so as we look at celebrating the communion this morning, let's ponder what Jesus has done and what is our answer to these questions this morning about our own celebrating. Is it happening? And how can it happen? How can we find celebration in the midst of what our current situation is? So let me pray for us as we prepare our hearts to look at celebration here as Palm Branch Christians this morning. Father, we're so aware of what your word says. We're so familiar, we can quote verses, we can quote references, or at least we've got the gist of it down, even if we don't know is the address, as Janice might say. But there's also so much that we've forgotten, or that we've pushed to the side as secondary. But the celebration in our hearts can't be secondary if we're yours. Father, we've celebrated you in worship this morning, and we've celebrated the fact that you never, ever let us go. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, even as Jesus went through that valley on his way to the cross, he never gave up. He never walked away from that. He never refused it. And so you've never let go of us. Could we celebrate you in spite of circumstances, in spite of many things that the world would know? Could we have gentle words to speak? Could we speak gospel truth to people? Could the first word people think of when they think of us is love? Because we've been so saturated by your love that we can't help but have it ooze out onto others. So, Father, we participate in this meal that you've called us to participate in on a regular basis until you come again. As we hold these palm branches, Father, could we reflect on what is my celebration? When's the last time I've really celebrated? And what is it that I celebrate? And how do I celebrate you? What is my celebrative language? Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you anoint this time? Could you cause celebration to well up in our hearts? Thank you for your presence here this morning. Amen. Jesus, Lord, speaking to us this morning about our celebration, or lack of, or what's he saying to us? One thing that struck me this morning is, and it's to me, it's almost a form of celebration. I don't know if you've noticed, but if you ever buy tulips, cut tulips, and you put them in water, do you know what they do? They grow 3 to 5 inches. I don't know if you've noticed that. But,
I did not know that.
So, Friday we had some tulips and some other flowers, I don't know what they're called, but anyway, put them in the vase for lunch. And the tulips were kind of down lower, kind of sitting down lower. And the other flowers, the green flowers, are kind of up higher. And it's like they're celebrating. And so this morning, all of those tulips are at least 2 inches above all the other flowers. I mean, they're way up top. They're just, like, they come right up, but they're cut and they're just in water. So I don't know how they do that, but it's like just these... It's almost like a celebration. It's like we want to be noticed. We're reaching up. And so I really don't know how they do it. I've noticed it before, but that was really striking because for lunch on Friday, they were down nestled in amongst these other flowers. And this morning, they are way up above. I mean, like 2 or 3 inches above all the other flowers. I should have taken a picture to show you. But, you know, I think that's, you know, even the tulips are celebrated in this way. We might be cut off from a source of life, but we're going to keep going. So it's been really, that was really an amazing, amazing thing. So anyone else God speaking to you about celebration and what yours is and what yours needs to be? And so I'm thinking almost maybe cutting this palm branch up into different places, putting it in different places of the year to remind me. It's like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. Celebration. So not really sure what I'm going to do with it yet, but anyway. All right, let's pray together as we close out this morning. Father, thank you for this Holy Week and for all those events that we take place that we remind ourselves of throughout this week as we lead up to next Sunday. And Father, could our spirit, our attitude of celebration just increase as we remind ourselves of the richness of what we've been given. And so you are good. You're a good, good Father. And so we do celebrate you this morning, and we ask, Father, that our lives would be just symbols of that celebration that is going on a regular basis. Thanks for this day. Thank you for the sunshine, and thank you for this spring season that's upon us. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.